We open with hymn number 149. Open thou my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Our psalm this evening is Psalm 22, found on page 127. Psalm 22. my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring?
O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not.
And in the night season I am not silent.
But thou art holy.
O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Our fathers trusted in thee.
They trusted and thou didst ever deliver them.
They cried unto thee and were delivered.
They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
But I am a worm and no man.
A reproach of men and despised of the people.
All they that see me laugh me to scorn.
They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying,
He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him.
Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
But thou art he that took me out of the womb.
Thou didst make me whole when I was upon my mother's breasts.
I was cast upon thee from the womb.
Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
For there is none to help.
Many bulls have compassed me.
Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around.
They gaped upon me with their mouths.
As a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws.
And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
They pierce my hands and my feet.
I may count all my bones.
They look and stare upon me.
They part my garments among them.
And cast lots upon my vesture.
Be not thou far from me, O Lord.
O my strength, haste thee to help me.
Deliver me from my soul from the sword.
My darling from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth.
For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren.
In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee.
Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him.
And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel.
For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard.
My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation.
I will pay my vows before them that fear him.
The meek shall eat and be satisfied.
They shall praise the Lord that seek him.
Your heart
shall live forever.
All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord.
And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee.
For the kingdom is the Lord's.
And he is the governor among the nations.
All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul.
A seed shall serve him.
It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
And they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.
That he hath done this.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading this evening is the 89th Psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. and you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King is the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name his horn shall be exalted. And I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. But you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of the sword and have not sustained him in the battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Here ends our first reading.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
We hear now the fifth portion of the Passion History. Jesus suffering before the secular authorities. Then the whole multitude of them arose and bound Jesus, led him from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. Then Judas, who had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned to death, felt remorse and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? You see to that. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood. And they took counsel, and they bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And it became known to all those who dwell in Jerusalem. So to this day, the field is called in their language, Akeldama, that is the field of blood. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. But the Jews did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. And the chief priests and elders began to accuse him vehemently, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying he himself is Christ, a king. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, and he called for Jesus, and he asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus stood before him and answered, are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you this about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews. And he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. And the chief priests and elders accused him of many things. But he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him, saying, do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. Do you not hear? But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And so they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him. And he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod became mutual friends, for before that they had been at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, he said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, nor did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And there was at that time a notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison with his fellow insurrectionists, who had committed murder in the insurrection made in the city. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. And when they gathered together, Pilate answered, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, the king of the Jews, who is called Christ? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders stirred up the people and persuaded them that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor then asked them again, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And the whole crowd cried out, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, spoke again to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" And they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown out of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face, and they spat on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him over the head, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend, for whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place which is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then he released them to them Barabbas, whom they requested, who had been thrown in prison for insurrection and murder. And he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to their will, to be crucified. Here ends the fifth portion of the Passion History.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
We sing hymn 143, verses 1 through 7. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is found in the 27th chapter of Matthew, verses 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Here ends our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No. Beloved in Jesus Christ, as we draw ever nearer to the cross, we have watched the wounding of our Lord become ever more severe. As the agony over his passion began in earnest, we saw the apathy of Jesus' closest disciples. Soon after, the ultimate betrayal as God's own Son is delivered into the hands of his enemies by Judas. And not long after, the denial of Peter, one of Jesus' dearest friends. Tonight, we come to the time in his passion when the wounding of his flesh began in earnest. One has to put together all the gospel accounts to see the full sequence of events. But here within these verses, we watch in horror as our Lord Jesus is scourged, his flesh horribly disfigured in the process. A crown of thorns is pressed into his brow. He is beaten over the head with a false scepter. And so also he is beaten by the same soldiers. But beyond the physical wounds, as horrible as they were, we now also watch as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is humiliated before the eyes of men. Here before us is his wound of mockery. To mock someone is to make fun of who they claim to be or what they do. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we hear of a very famous case of mockery in the Bible. There we see the prophet Elisha going to Bethel. And as he is approaching the city, a sizable crowd of young men come out and gather together, and they mock the Lord's prophet. They say, "Go up, bald head." Meaning, if you are such a prophet, why don't you ascend to heaven too, like Elijah? As retribution for this mockery, God caused a she-bear to come out and slay 42 of these young men. They did not mock Elisha for making false claims, but because he truly was a prophet of the Lord. Imagine then what it must mean to mock the Son of God. Jesus does not have to make any claims about himself. The Father in heaven had already testified that Jesus is his only begotten Son. And he bid all men to hear him. For anyone to mock the Son of God must mean they mock him for who he actually is. It's not possible to mock Jesus for who he is not without making fun of the truth. To mock means you must be mocking him for the truth, because Jesus only speaks the truth about himself. But if one of the prophets of the Lord could not be mocked without severe consequences, what must it mean to those who mock the Son of God? Where is the she-bear that would come out of the wilderness to defend Jesus when no one else would? Where is the divine wrath of God being poured out upon those who scourge him? Why, Jesus does not even open his own mouth to curse his accusers, as he rightly could have done. Instead, he remains silent, and he does nothing, and he allows himself to be abused and every epithet to be heaped upon him. He lets the world see him as a powerless and pitiful king. It is his office as king that is the focus of the mockery of Jesus. The chief claim which the Jews brought to Pilate is that Jesus made himself a king and so set himself against Caesar. Well, Pilate presumed, if Jesus is such a threat, why don't we show these people just how powerful a king he is? And so Pilate himself orders the events recorded in our lesson. Pilate orders the mockery to take place. And why? Because he did not believe that Jesus was a real king or a real threat. By having Jesus publicly humiliated about the very claim that the Jews brought against him, Pilate was also mocking the accusers of Jesus, who ironically also spoke the truth, that Jesus made himself a king. Pilate wanted to shame the Jews who demanded Jesus' blood by showing them how utterly ridiculous a king Jesus turned out to be. And so Pilate made a public spectacle of Jesus. He stripped him of his clothing and put only a scarlet robe upon him. There was Jesus, standing helpless, naked but for a robe, a bloody crown tearing into his flesh, flesh disfigured and bleeding from the scourging. Mock crown, mock attire, a mock scepter in his right hand, and mock worship as the soldiers bended the knee before him, only to turn around and hit him over the head with the reed that was his scepter. And if that wasn't enough, then they began to beat him with their fists, and in the ultimate insult, they spit upon him. Now, if Jesus were a true king and had any power at all, he would cause these men to be struck dead. He would cry out, and the Father would send his angels to destroy those mockers and abusers. But this mighty king does nothing and says nothing. He stands before the people as one who is powerless, allowing himself to be humiliated and abused in the most extreme manner. What a pitiful sight. And in this pitiful condition, Pilate commands Jesus to be brought out before the crowds. And he says, "Behold the man," showing them just what pitiful a king he truly is. How much threat could he possibly be if he is so easily beaten and abused, belittled, spit upon? Where were his defenders, his men of war, the mass of his subjects, ready to rise up and defend their king? No one defended him. No one so much as raised their voice to help him. One of his inner circle betrayed him. One denied him. All but one had run away in fear, and all the rest of his supporters who stood by were but a handful of women who remained and could do nothing for him. A few days before, he had crowds of people calling him the Son of David, hailing him as the king who came in the name of the Lord, and now the voice of the crowd demanded that he be crucified. In all of this, our Lord Jesus was mocked for his person and for his office, and yet there was a greater mockery at work in all of these things. He was mocked as powerless to save. For our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to be any other king than the Lord, than the king that saves his people from their sins. And as our Lord bore the scorn of men, as they heaped abuse and mockery upon him for being such a powerless king, incapable of saving any of his subjects, he was bearing the abuse and mockery which his accusers deserved. Because he stood in their place. He stood in our place. He bore the very mockery which we ourselves deserved. There stands Jesus, mocked for being weak and powerless, when it is we who are weak and powerless. It is we who are helpless before our accusers, who have no power. For it is not only the devil, but God himself who stands and rightly accuses us of our sins. And whereas our Lord Jesus had the right to call himself king, we are rightly accused of making ourselves king of our own little kingdoms in this world, rebelling against the power of God himself. For every sin of disobedience is a sin of rebellion against the authority of God. It is we who have made ourselves false kings. And we then deserve the mockery. But instead, Jesus receives it from the hands of sinful men whose sins he bore. And what of the retribution from God? Where does God answer the mockery? Where is the she-bear from the wilderness to destroy those who abuse God's Son? Where is the wrath of heaven poured out upon those who dare humiliate and spit upon his beloved one? Oh, indeed, God on that very day poured out his wrath in answer to the horrible sins which were perpetrated upon his dear Son. Only he did not pour out that wrath upon the accusers or abusers of Jesus, but upon Jesus himself. Even as Jesus bore the mockery and abuse of men, Jesus himself bore the price of the mockery, as our sins, as our constant rebellion against the kingship of God, and all of the wrath that that deserved, were poured out upon him. And so divine justice was met on that day, and it will be met in still greater degree as our Lord Jesus is led off to be crucified to the mount where we in all of our sinfulness will be loosed from the chains of sin that bind us, and where the blood of Jesus, which now begins to drip from his brow, and the scourge wounds of his flesh will pour out from his hands and his feet and his side until all the world has been washed and cleansed from every taint of sin. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn 143, the 8th through the 15th verse.
Thank you.
my prayers be set forth before thee as incense. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, now blessest thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For thine eyes have seen my salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, thou didst take upon thee the sin of the world. Thou innocent Lamb of God, who before the council was falsely accused, spat upon, mocked, buffeted, and sentenced to death as a blasphemer and a deceiver of the people. We beseech thee, show us the salvation that is in thy merit, and look upon us in mercy as thou once did look upon Peter, that sincerely repenting of our sin, we may obtain by faith the comfort of forgiveness and at the end be found acceptable in thy sight, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desire, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.